Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And our sponsor is
Two words.
whenever they want. The Dodd-Frank Law 2010. You can look it up. Can you lose your retirement? Nope. Noble Gold can get your retirement out of the bank, put it under your control, back it with gold. They can do the same thing with your bank account. Let me suggest strongly that you go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll send you a free information packet. And of course, future expectations cannot be dependent on past performance. And that's my FTC disclaimer. And we have with us today Dr. Jason Dean. And Jason's been on with us a few times before and always provocative. He is a husband, a father, a doctor, and he's calling out the medical and pharma cartels. He does a good job of it too. That's why we keep having him back on. He and his wife have operated Palmer Natural Health, the largest natural and chiropractic organization in the country. And he is the creator and host of BraveTV.com. We'll be talking about that more. And we're going to get into Bill Gates, and he's up to it again. And I'll just start off with this quote. Henry Kissinger once said, "If you control oil, you control nations, but if you control food, you control the people." And that really kind of overshadows where we're going to go today. So, Jason, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us. And they're going to try. I used to just be worried about eating bugs and aquatics and all that nonsense from the World Economic Forum. But this is getting real serious now. So I'll just kind of throw it over to you and I think we need to raise the alarm and talk about some solutions.
Well, first of all, Dave, thanks for having me. Second of all, this time I'm very, very happy. Last time I talked to you, I was driving to the studio and I was in the vehicle, and I know people were a little worried about my safety. This time I am stable in my home studio
Okay.
with all my resources and everything. It's so much easier doing it this way. But yeah, thanks for having me on. And you know, it's funny. I often, Dave, I don't do really any television. I mean, every once in a while, I'll decompress with my wife watching a decent movie or something like that. But there's no real television. So people will ask me quite often, you know, how are you in this topic over here? And then over there, here, this topic. It's because I have time on my hands to actually research and read. And it's also part of my daily job as a doctor, too. A lot of the stuff I need to know because I'm helping people. But I'll tell you, this one is, man, I don't want to say fun for me because it's not fun to report on it, but it's fun because this is my wheelhouse, Dave, as a doctor. Because as I study this stuff, this is the age-old tale of what are humans supposed to actually consume as foods? It goes into the preparatory world of like what people need in case grids go down and the world goes into catastrophe mode. But also, this goes into just human health, Dave. And this is literally what I do, not just 5 days a week, 7 days a week, because I'm always kind of going and people around the world know me and I get messages. How can, you know, what's wrong with me? How can you help me? And so I say this is my wheelhouse, and this is regarding, you know, animals, plants, our farmland, et cetera. So I'm happy to jump in this with you.
Okay, well, we're really glad to have you here to do this. You tell me. Let me. I became very concerned when I learned that he had succeeded with chemtrailing and so forth, which is part of, to reduce the sunlight to the earth by about 18%, thus affecting the growing seasons and crop yield and so forth. Is what we're going to talk about along those lines about reduction of food supply and endangering the population?
Definitely reduction of food supply, but also kind of what we're going into. They're doing a wonderful job, and this is their goal, is to move us away from animals and from, you know, really the proteins and fats that we used to live on. You know, I dare say this, Dave, and I don't want to make you old because I'm also starting to creep up there now. But didn't you come from a day where potentially there was like milk delivered to the doorstep and people had farms around you and you might be able to get meat from down the road? I mean, I'm not saying it was that far back, but that's kind of what America used to be.
Yeah, I was a disclaimer. I was about 4 or 5 years old And one of my friend's dads was a milk delivery guy, and that's all I
There
know
you go.
about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't believe I was born 77, so I probably missed that part, but I heard the stories of it from my grandparents and great-grandparents. But so yes, this is a farmland situation, but also this is a reorganizing of the planetary geographical situation as well, because their message, Dave, is going to be that we cannot sustain the way we're consuming foods. And let me give you a quick example just to kind of show you. And I had to look this up because I mean, some of the stuff I don't know, I gotta go look it up. But for example, they want to get rid of palm oil. Now, I'm not gonna debate palm oil good, palm oil bad. Obviously, it is an ingredient in a lot of our foods that we use, et cetera. And it is a plant. It's not gonna hurt anybody, right? It depends on how it's manufactured. However, one of his companies, C16 Biosciences, which is different than the company we can talk about regarding the fats and everything. That's a whole other topic, which is an interesting topic. But the C16 Biosciences, their goal is to essentially alleviate the stress upon rainforests in Indonesia of the palm oil. Palm oil comes from the palm oil plant. It's a tree, and there's a fruit on it that makes the oil. So their propaganda is that we're destroying the Indonesian rainforests. 25 million acres have been destroyed so far. And so I go, okay, let me get perspective on that, Dave, because I don't know. I mean, Indonesia is not a large area compared to America. So let me, what's an acre, right? We know what an acre is, but what's 25 million acres look like? That's a big number. So I go look, and they have roughly 250-ish, depending on the source, million acres. I'm like, okay, 25 million acres. That could be problematic. That's going to build up quick. And if we're just destroying trees over there, because I am also an eco guy. I'm not conservative. I'm not liberal. I'm a middle of the road guy. I believe we should also take care of our environmental areas. We shouldn't destroy stuff. We should regrow stuff, things like that. So 250 million acres in Indonesia, right? Now, so then I go, Dave, I go, okay, how long does it take a palm oil tree to grow? I mean, I know some trees take forever, and that could be a problem because obviously you got to plant them. It takes time. A palm oil tree grows to maturity in 30 months, Dave. 30 months. That's a little over 2 years. So now my mindset is, okay, this is BS, because if you are indeed destroying palm oil trees to get palm oil, well, then how about we just make a new rule? If you're in that industry, grow new palm oil trees, right? Because then as you come back around 2 years later, you're rebuilding rainforest just as you're taking down rainforest. So to me, Dave, and that's just my logic, I could be wrong, but their goal is they're trying to reorganize what our geography looks like. And I think that's one of the big problems, Dave, is they want to make our planet look different.
Well, you know what this reminds me of?
What's
The
that?
Charlie Sheen movie of 1997 called The Arrival.
I don't think I've seen that.
Okay, it was a story, it was an alien story,
Okay.
but the aliens came here, took human form, infiltrated organizations, and were designing to change the ecosphere and ultimately heat up the planet to a point where it's like the frog in the boiling pot. And human
Yes.
life is exterminated, and they take over in situations that are conducive to their lifestyle. And when you just said that about ecosystem change, it took me right to that movie.
Yeah, and that's one of the things they're doing. I mean, and even down to, okay, back to the Bill Gates thing and the butter. So we tried trans fat. We made Crisco and margarine, which literally killed people because it's so bad for the cardiovascular
Sure.
system and the cells, right? So now there, and I want to take everyone back because I talked about this earlier. We have been living off of animal proteins and fats since the beginning of time. And anybody who wants to, I sometimes get the vegan vegetarians who want to debate me, and that's fine, because I have no hate for them, but it's insane, right? So they're like, well, we shouldn't even be living off animal fats and proteins. Go tell that to the Alaskan Indian who lives in the middle of dead winter most of the time and lives off of fish and fats and animal proteins, right? And they are actually historically one of, if not the healthiest people on the face of the planet. And even if you go south of the equator, Sure, they'll live off some plants like coconuts, et cetera, but they're also living off fatty fish in warm waters, right? So we go back to America. Bill Gates is buying up farmland like it's going out of style. Now, their goal is when you take animals off of the land and you change the farmland to something that's just strictly monocropping, genetically modified plant-based situation, you're destroying the land more. You'll actually turn it into a desert, which I don't know if people know this or not. I have several friends and colleagues in the regenerative farming industry, and they are working really hard to actually get things changed back over because the Midwest of America is full of corn, soy, rapeseed, etc. This actually destroys our land, makes our soil really terrible. So now Bill Gates is basically saying, hey, we can't have animals, even though the American Indians lived off of bison, deer, etc., and were very, very healthy. So he's created this company called Savor, Savor. And I think I stumbled on this on X. I started diving down this rabbit hole. And they have a bunch of millennials in charge of this, Dave's. So when you go, I actually watched one of their small seminars and I have more to go through. And it's a bunch of basically late 20 to 30 year old kids, which I'll call them kids, who are mentally not really fit to be running a company necessarily because of their actual culture they were brought up on. And their goal is for us to not, they're most of them are vegan vegetarian. And again, I'm not trying to beat up the vegan vegetarians, but it's not a long-term healthy way to be fit and healthy, et cetera. So they're taking paraffin wax. Okay, they're oxidizing it and they're turning this into fats, Dave. So they're turning it into butter. They're turning it into fats for use in ice cream and hamburgers. And the hamburgers aren't real meat, by the way. They're plant-based, but
Jason, so I don't get lost, let me talk. What's the base product they start with?
paraffin wax,
Paraffin wax. Okay, can you
which
tell
is
us
a
a little bit about
petroleum
what?
product.
Okay, all right, it's a petroleum product. And does it have any past usage that's beneficial in the food industry?
Paraffin wax, no.
Okay.
No.
So
No, I
we're
mean,
already off to a bad start.
I remember I remember in school learning about paraffin wax because you can have paraffin wax treatments. And I remember, we took our whole hand and we put it in warm paraffin wax and we took our hand out and it hardens and then you can peel it off and it's kind of cool and like it shows whatever because there's therapies for it, right? However, at the end of the day, it's a petroleum product, which is kind of ironic, Dave, because I thought these globalists were getting us away from petroleum. In reality, they're going to paraffin wax, petroleum product. They're oxidizing it. They then turn that into butter. And this is what they're using with chefs.
In
It's amazing.
restaurants.
Yeah, they're piloting this in restaurants with supposedly award-winning chefs. And then by, I think, 2025, their goal is to have this on the shelf so you can go in and the average consumer can buy Savor butter, Savor ice cream, Savor anything with a animal-based fat in, they're going to turn over to a Savor fat.
Okay, so my next logical question, what's the downside for human consumption?
Don't even know, Dave. That's the problem. I
So, in other
mean,
words, they're putting garbage out without testing it. Sounds like vaccines, but.
did they know? Here's the question. Did they know the long-term game on trans fats? No, they did not. I mean, they put Crisco out, they put margarine out. They didn't know. Here's the crazy part, Dave. Let me dive down the science road with you, right? So, and when I say science, I'm just talking about just mainstream science. We're not when you're creating a product or anything like that. Let's use vaccines, even though I'm not a vaccine fan of any kind. The vaccine roadmap or timeline is roughly a decade, meaning when a company decides they want to make a vaccine, it takes a decade worth of research, trials, controls, et cetera, to actually launch it so that they're like, okay, this will have negative side effects, but maybe it helps people in the long term and there's more reward than there is risk. So that's intended. The reason why that's in place is because they need to know long-term ramifications potentially for people. And even 10 years doesn't do it. So why are we now taking a food item like, and this is really just a recycling of Crisco and margarine, a trans fat. Make this over a couple years, put it on the market, and then they're going to say to people, go ahead and try this. And now it's a food. This is the crazy part. People don't ask questions about the food in America anymore.
No.
So they're going to go try this, especially this leftist community, which vegans and vegetarians tend to be in, just stating the facts. They don't know the long-term cardiovascular issues, cellular issues, hormonal issues. I mean, we'll talk about the health aspect in a minute, but fats, animal fats, plant-based fats, fats are a precursor to all of our hormones, our sex hormones. So no, Dave, we don't know long-term what ramifications this has. Yet people are going to jump on board so fast. Yet we do know the ramifications of animal fats and proteins because the humans have been on that for millennia. And guess
Well,
what? We were healthy at one point.
I think you've said enough to raise a concern. If this is a precursor to sex hormones, then we have to start looking at fertility issues. I mean, it's just a
100%.
natural, it's a natural progression.
Absolutely. I mean, so we know, Dave, you know, they are trying. So one of the things they go after is, what is it? Toxic masculinity. So they always say toxic masculinity, right? Now, I'm not going to give that like the time of day, but what they really mean is they don't want men being men because they want women to have this superpower that, you know, women already have. They just don't know it. They haven't realized it, right? What they're really saying is they don't want men to be masculine. Well, what makes men masculine? This is basic biochemistry. Fats like actual animal fats themselves and plant and some plant-based fats, they are the precursor to the hormones of the human body. Well, men are not doing well right now. I'll tell you, right, literally people come into me, men come into me, and one of the biggest things they talk about is women too, but lack of sex drive, lack of ability to work out, they don't have the strength they need anymore, they have cloudy mind, lack of clarity, etc. All this goes back to the hormones are not working. Fertility, you bring up, right? There are fertility clinics all over the place. I just had a couple come in who've spent, I think, $100,000 on two fertility treatments. And there's no guarantee when you get a fertility treatment, there's no guarantee you're going to actually have a child or even it's going to take. It's a shot. You get a $50,000 shot to possibly get pregnant. The reason all this is happening, Dave, is because America's hormones are in the trash. We're not even having enough children anymore. Our population is too low. The reason for this is because they've taken over the food system. They're telling people what to do. They're injecting them with bioweapons amongst all the other medications. Americans are on an average, 70% of America is on an average of four medications. We have a major problem in America, and now they're going to put parabens, or I'm sorry, paraffin wax and petroleum products more in the food system and wonder why hormones plummet even more.
Do we have any correlational or direct causational studies between paraffin wax and health hormone balance? Do we have anything along those lines at all?
Good question. No, probably not, but
I
I
bet
can
they, I bet someone has it. It's just not publicly available.
probably not. Yeah, I mean, well, here's the good question too, is when I was studying, there's actually all I did was Google paraffin wax and hormones just real quick, assessment of endocrine disrupting effects on short chain chlorinated paraffins in vitro models. So there you go. Short chain chlorinated paraffins, which are a candidate persistent organic pollutants. So they even call a chlorinated paraffin, an organic pollutant, according to Stockholm Convention, are of great concern because of their persistent bioaccumulation, long-range transport, and potential adverse health effects. They're working. They're saying data on endocrine disrupting effects remain scarce, so they're still working on it. But yeah, there's problems.
What I suspect is we're looking at agents they're looking for to cross the blood-brain barrier, and
100%.
attack cognitive processes too, like Alzheimer's and so forth.
So here's a good one for you. So, and one of the reasons I took up this topic, Dave, is because again, this is a wheelhouse for me, and I see this on an everyday basis. So we have a fundamental problem in America, and the fundamental problem from a healthcare standpoint is Americans don't understand the basics of human health. And I will ask this on my own show, Dave, sometimes. I'll say, hey, as new viewers come in, I'll ask the question, what is your brain made of? And people, well, first of all, they don't typically know. So if I ask, what is the brain made of? It's kind of a twofold answer, but the answers are the same, basically. The brain is made up of fat, and it actually is cholesterol. So if your brain is made of fat and it builds up from cholesterol, which our body also makes cholesterol as well, your nerves, all your nerves, your spinal cord, all your nerves, your cells have something called a myelin sheath around them. That is built from fats. That's not, I mean, proteins are in there as well, but those are fats. So in America is eating trans fats and fried foods, et cetera. This is why sometimes cholesterol builds up, plus tons of sugars, right? So what they're doing is they're trying to create us from a organic human to a synthetic human. Because long term, you're right. When you add in these trans fats, these petroleum-based fats, the brain will literally turn into a solid synthetic piece of fat versus the actual animal fat that it's supposed to be made from. And long term, you now have synthetic biology instead of organic biology in the human body, Dave.
It reminds me of research that seemingly went dead publicly when we first started to find out about GMOs, and there was research that suggested that it opened up the gene envelope for host opportunistic diseases. Do you
Yes,
remember that?
I do.
And that kind of went away. This is putting me back in that mindset.
They're creating synthetic humans. I mean, I just had a discussion with Dr. Anna Mihalcha last
I've
night,
had her
right?
on my show, yeah.
Yeah, I just had a deal with her last night, and she was uncovering. Obviously, she's going deeper on the synthetic nanotechnology in the blood that she's showing. But then on top of that, she pointed out something last night, Dave, that I didn't know. And now I have to dive deeper into, because this is also part of what I deal with on an everyday basis, is they didn't start with nanotechnology in the COVID vaccines. They actually have nanometals that are not on the ingredients list in about 44 different childhood vaccine schedules. So whether you look at the vaccines or you look at the food system at this point, and here's another one, random, off the rails. Let's look at skincare. I mean, I don't personally dive into it a lot because it's not really my world. My wife is, though. My associates who are females, they're looking at skincare and makeups, not because they love them, but like because women come in asking, like, what can I put on my face that's not going to harm me? All the mainstream skincares, whether it's literally makeup to sunscreens to rejuvenation creams, et cetera, synthetic like crazy, petroleum oils like crazy. Long term, every single aspect that we're getting hit from, whether it's food system, makeup, skin, the sky, the water system, Dave, it's synthetic biology. They're working to turn the human cell into a synthetic cell, because when they turn into a synthetic cell, they can now connect that. They can connect to that wireless. They already have that technology. We know that. They can connect to humans via technology, and they can control the cell from a distance. That's
5G.
really what we're looking at.
Yeah. 5G is an application of this.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 6G. 6G is going to be, I mean, that's why do you think they're doing smart cities?
I hate to use such a general term, but there's no question this is about transhumanism.
Transhumanism, and then another word that I've picked up just by studying is posthumanism, because I think long term, their goal is the post-humanist world, right? And by the way, I don't know if you know this. Because so Bill Gates is a philanthropist, right? Have you heard of the humanist movement?
Yes.
Right. So what the humanist, now when you look up humanism, it actually sounds, ideal. It sounds like, oh my gosh, we're just trying to make sure humans are well taken care of. It's not actually humanism, because humanism, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but humanism, when you look at it, actually has a little bit of a kind of a ring to it. Like, oh my gosh, people are looking out for the world, people are looking out for humans, they want to be better, et cetera. It's actually a post-humanist world, because ultimately, at the end of the day, they believe people are useless animals. They believe people are just dumb, stupid. I mean, Kissinger talks about this. I mean, Brzezinski talked about this, right? That is a post-humanist world, Dave. That's what they're looking for. So long term, you continue pushing all of these different fats and everything else into the human body. You, over a period of time, boiling frog example, you turn them into post-humanist synthetic humans, robots, really without them knowing, Dave. I mean, there's still people out there who got the bioweapon who have no clue anything is going on.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to bring this up because we've kind of touched on it before, but we keep coming back to this. I met a former NATO NSA person, and we're good friends now. I've known him for 32 years. And he was trained that, and this is right out of Genesis 6, secular version, that fallen angels thrown down to earth, they didn't use the term. They wanted to steal the soul. They couldn't, so they decided to morph the human being. This ultimately, to me, outlines what's going on here. This is a continuation. And for those people who are Christian oriented, if you look at Genesis 6, verse 4, it talks about the fact that the genetic structure of these fallen angels survived the flood. And there's no doubt about it when you read it. So I think that we might be dealing with two different entities, and humans are the enemy. I want to stay more on the scientific plane, but I can't get away from the fact that this comes back to good versus evil.
Sure. 100%. Well, I mean, and I'm by no means an expert in scripture. I upfront say that, but I'll tell you, a lot of what I read really takes me back to, I believe there's genetic engineering at so many stages of biblical past and history
Yes.
that, but here's the issue, Dave. And again, this is try to respect all people out there who are listening, whatever level they come from, whether it's physical growth and education, spiritual education. I personally don't think enough people are reading scripture deep enough. I'm going to use deep enough. I don't want to say correctly or incorrectly, but deep enough. Because if you look at this and you look at what's going on today, right? You look at the Bill Gates of the world, you look at people above him, you look what they're doing, and you put a modern day twist on it, I guess you could say, as in every single thing has to logically play out. Whenever I see something, whether it's a story or something biblically that's said, I look and go, okay, I can read that as something that happened in the past, that is history, and for lack of a better word, let's call it a story, right? However, we know that story is factual. Okay. How do we take that factual story from potentially thousands, if not longer ago, years ago? And how do we put that into modern context from a science standpoint? Because I believe everything spiritually is also can be scientifically played out, right? So let's say, for example, I'll just use a random one, and you don't necessarily have to agree. It's just kind of a it's a philosophy or a theory that I have. When Noah brings on every single animal onto the ark, did he really bring on every single animal? Or did he have genetics of animals? Did he have DNA of animals? Did he have some other form? So what, up to the future here, now where we are, we talk about fallen angels, we talk about the fallen ones and the watchers. We have the Bill Gates of the world. We have the Kissinger, who some of them passed away, right? But there's ones that take their place. They're literally right now, including the pharmaceutical companies who are putting out bioweapons, they are manipulating genetically the human being. There are human beings right now that have had mRNA put into their system that are literally changing their DNA. They are no longer the current version or form of a human. They have been altered and changed. That to me scientifically shows, okay, there is a playing out of a story we've seen in the past before, but taking place in the modern world. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, Pastor Paul Begley, I was at his seminar and I presented this, and he told me this is the hot topic in eschatology right now. And you brought up Dr. Anna. I want to tell you something she said on my show. She said that with regard to the vaccines, she has found something. I don't remember if it was quantum dot, but she did say there's a time dilation effect. It's more like a quantum physics effect. And I'll tell you where my mind went on this. If people do believe in a judgment day, and these people think a judgment day is coming, they might try to avoid being there at the time that it's going to happen.
Understand that.
That was my takeaway from what Dr. Anna said in the interview.
Yeah.
The thing is this is nothing but pure evil. We're a human lab experiment, is what it comes down to.
That's right.
So, what is a person to do?
Well, there's two different topics there. So, or that falls under two different subtopics. We have the human and we have the spiritual topic. I'll get to the spiritual because that's a deeper topic. But the human topic is this. And this is what I teach on every single day. America, you have to stay and or work on getting healthy very quickly. And the reason I say that is because I have a survival guy that comes on and he said, at least 70% of America is not ready for a crap hitting the fan moment. And what he means by that is if crap hits the fan, and let's say you might have to actually bug out, like you might have to go somewhere that's safer, higher, whatever it may be. Majority of America, 7 out of 10 Americans are on at least four medications. That is not a healthy American. Cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, top three diseases still to this day. That means an unhealthy America that literally can't move if they needed to move. So we have to go back to the basics. If you go back and you look at the early 1900s, the 1800s, the 1700s, and you keep going back, never before that we know of, I have not seen it yet. Have we had this suppressed of a human health topic in America? Meaning, you go back, you saw thin people, you saw well taken care of people, active people, working people. There was no obesity. There was nothing. I mean, today we talk about, different diets like carnivore and keto, et cetera, and they tell us how horrible this is and how bad our health is going to be from eating animal proteins and animal fats, et cetera. Yet all the people that are getting healthier, happier, they're getting better mood, depression goes away because they're actually putting the right nutrients back into the body. So first and foremost, people have to get healthy. It's that simple. If you are caught up in any way in this pharmaceutical world, and I'm not saying, like, I understand, someone might need a life-saving medication. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being on 3, 4, 5, 10 medications, being on psychotropic drugs, being on statins, et cetera. We have the majority of our population on those medications, and they think that's okay. These are not intended to be on. That's the physical aspect. Spiritually, man, I tell people, you got to go deep within. You got to really, really realize where we are right now. But also, I want people to think above, for lack of a better term, this plane of existence. And I say that because we live in a crazy planet where it seems like it was given over to a bunch of psychopaths by the devil. I don't know,
It
right?
was. I agree with that. I think that's
But
totally correct.
let's go back to what Jesus actually said and follow what he told us to do. He already conquered this world, he said. And then he said, we are not of this world. So I want people to realize that, yes, we got to keep the body healthy, but we are not our bodies.
Yeah.
We are spiritual beings. We are souls. We are whatever you want to call it, right? At the end of the day, we're all talking about the same thing. And there's a physical responsibility of being on this planet. You have to take care of yourself because you don't want to, you have family, you have spiritual assignments that you're supposed to take up, like being a dad, being a mom, being a grandparent, being a community member, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day as well, these people that are controlling this whole system, they want you to be stuck solidly in this construct. And we have to rise above this construct. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That really is that's what we have to do at the end of the day.
And the construct is being created right before our eyes.
Absolutely.
And the move is to separate us from our spirituality. There's no question about it. But
100%.
to me, it's difficult to understand why so few people like yourself and Dr. Anna see the physical threat that's out there, because it's easy to observe. It's easy to track. I mean, you talked about 10 years was not enough to test some of the things they're putting in us. When I used to teach research to graduate students working on their dissertation, we talked about cross-sectional research, longitudinal research, and these things aren't even covered now. And these people that are doing this to us, their research, if you could even call it that, they wouldn't get out of my midterm exam in a 101 class.
Dave, I go, so this is what I go back to. I know this is going to sound super simple, maybe too simplified. I remember, and remember, I do research, but I don't sit in the scientific world all day long because that's not really where my career is, but I can dive back into it when I need to. Let's go back to basic science. And basic science is one simple thing. It's observation,
Yes.
right? Here's the problem. There's no longer observation out there. I mean, when I say observation, I routinely joke about this for anybody who's listening, what I mean by observation. So I am a practicing doctor. Later today, I will go into my office and I will have physical patients that come into my office. When I look and I see who I have to go get next, I may know them, I may not know them. I go out there. The first thing I do, Dave, is when someone's sitting in a chair and I go to grab them, for their appointment, I look at them. Now, if that person is sitting there and they're smiling and they look happy and they greet me well, they're probably in general doing well, and maybe they just have a couple things they need to handle or something that they're concerned on or whatever it may be. But in general, if they're happy, they're probably doing okay. Now, I also go out there and sometimes there's somebody who might be crying. Or they look frustrated, or their color of their skin is not so good, or they look like they're queasy, whatever it may be, right? By simple observation, Dave, they're not doing well, and I see that they have a problem. So when I bring them back, I start talking. I already know the direction this visit is going in. I already know the direction that I have to take with that visit, that specific person. That is the basis of science, which is even if you want to get into lab science, right? You come up with a theory, you perform the theory of the project or the experiment you're doing, and that experiment works partially, or doesn't work. And by observation of that and writing down some notes and maybe some math and numbers, you then either keep going or you change the experiment. But what did you do that based on? You did that based on observation of what was happening in front of your eyes. Dave, America right now, and even the world, we have science experiments going on right now, legitimate science experiments. I mean, the COVID bioweapon is a science experiment. Doesn't have to, science experiments can be good, it can be bad. It doesn't matter. It's still a science experiment, right? America and even the scientists, there are scientists out there right now. There are Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, you name it, scientists right now who aren't even looking at basic science of observation. They see an adverse reaction. Oh, well, that's part of it. That's that. What do you mean that's part of it? That's not, when you see that, I mean, no one takes a supplement and goes, oh, they had an adverse reaction from that. No, because if there's an adverse reaction, we know there's a problem. That's not good. Science doesn't mean 10 people die and 90 people are okay. That means there's a problem that we still need to get handled and go, okay, maybe if we're in a tight situation, that's okay. But no, that's not proper science. And that's the world we're stuck in, Dave, right now. We have an American population, as well as doctors and scientists, who are violating
They're
basis of science, which is observation.
in the Hippocratic Oath too. I would ask you, if someone were to come to your clinic, and they follow you on your TV show, and you said we got to get healthy, so you're trying to give them a baseline from which to withstand this assault. Where do you start?
Here's an easy one. I start with the biggest plague on humanity right now, especially in America, and that is the sugar problem. Kill the sugar. Kill the refined sugar. Kill the carbs. I mean, the average. I talk to people who are like, "Oh, I eat pretty well. I don't need sugar." And then I start actually going through it with them, and come to find out, they're basically pre-diabetic because they're consuming so much, it's unbelievable. And at the end of the day, I have to go at one, it's a drug, it's got everyone addicted. Two, it's the biggest inflammatory marker a person can have right now, which is the actual sugar that's in their diet. I mean, I don't know the numbers anymore because they've changed. I used to know them about 10 years ago, but the amount of weight in pounds that a human eats in refined sugar on a daily basis and in a year is astounding, Dave. I mean, it is literally the number one cause of disease at this point. And by the way, for anybody who thinks sugar, oh, it's okay, they actually take brains and they put one on sugar, they put one on cocaine, and they hook it up to essentially an MRI scan. It sets off the same exact brain
Yeah,
centers.
I'm
You're
aware of that.
dealing with a drug that's as addictive as cocaine, if not more, Dave.
How hard is it to get away from refined sugars in your diet?
I would ask the my mom was an addict, so she was an alcoholic, and she did some drugs, and I ask her how hard was it to get off of how hard was it to become sober, and she'll say it was not easy. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, right? Sugar, I think, is actually, I've heard more excuses, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Just people, like, it's an addiction, right? I believe sugar is harder to give up than things like alcohol and drugs, honestly. I've seen things that people, I mean, people who say that they're, oh, I'm good, and they're hiding food because they're so addicted to that sweet taste. So I would say it's probably either the hardest, or if not one of the hardest things that people will ever give up in their life.
Does the cessation of sugar, does that starve cancer? I hear that quite a bit.
Oh yeah, I mean, cancer is fed by sugar. I mean, that's actually well known, and it's interesting you bring that up. I mean, I can throw names out from the early 1900s. Dr. Max Gerson, Dr. Royal Lee, Dr. Francis Pottinger. These are names not everyone's going to know, but if you go look them up, Max Gerson, who actually developed the Gerson therapy, he found, kind of accidentally, but he found that sugar was feeding cancer. So he took patients back in the day. He has an entire book just on clinical successes, where he worked with patients, took them off, and watched tumors shrink and watched people reverse cancer. Now, here's the kicker. Him, amongst all those other doctors that I have mentioned and could mention, why don't you know about them? Why don't Americans know about them? Because every one of them were taken off the map by your three-letter agencies, Dave. Because why? They figured it out.
You mean that they regulated the practice of removing sugar through bureaucratic regulation?
They knew what was causing disease. They knew what made humans healthy. They published data. They had, I mean, Royal Rife had microscopes that would actually go in and kill off pathogens, kill off cancer with frequencies. I mean, in the truther community, Royal Rife has come back, but the mainstream world has no clue about that man. They don't even know about his microscope. Why? It's destroyed because those are the keys. They don't make the money, Dave. I mean, Royal Rife book doesn't make the money. What makes the money? What makes the money is the next random celebrity that puts out, they took Ozempic to lose weight. Like again, you're watching that. I talked to my wife about this last night. We were talking about somebody else we know, another doctor taking Ozempic to lose weight. And I go, yeah, Oprah just like dumped her Weight Watchers stock because they're jumping into Ozempic. There's more money there. Except, again, another drug that has no long-term studies and people are doing it because they're losing weight. Oh my gosh, I'm going to lose weight so fast. So what happens when it turns cancer on? Like what ha like you don't you have no idea what this stuff does to the human body long-term. Yet Americans who are short-sighted, they go for it. Because it gives them an immediate fact, immediate gratification. But long term, they have no idea. So we are basically following a religion of scientism versus actually studying science, Dave. And your science always leads to, it leads back to nature. It leads back to animal proteins, animal fats. It leads back to moving your body. It leads back to going out into the sun, getting sunlight. It leads back to literally the origin of what human health really is, and that's nature.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. So what would you say to clean up your diet? The average person watching right now, what are a couple things they could do right now to see a noticeable improvement?
I would say get rid of sugar or start getting rid of sugar immediately. Increase your water, increase your animal proteins, animal fats. And then here's a definitely go into the nature, get some sunlight. But here's one that will probably throw people for a loop because they've been lied to about this as well. Not only increase your mineral intake, your potassiums, magnesiums, etc., increase your sodium, increase your salt intake. They
You
have
don't hear
lied to
that?
people.
You don't hear that, do you?
You have been lied to about salt. We have studies of ancient tribes, even to this day, I shouldn't even say ancient, modern tribes in places like Bolivia are eating upwards of not 10 milligrams, 10 grams of salt per day. And guess what? Perfect human health, perfect teeth, perfect skin, great muscle tone, living long periods of time, no disease. You go to these jungles and rainforests and they talk to these people. And they bring up modern American diseases. Dave, they have no idea what the modern American diseases are. They don't die of cancer. They're consuming animal fats and proteins, eating fish all day, eating produce from trees that are in the rainforest. They're consuming 10 grams of salt a day, and they have perfect health, Dave.
When we come back to what we've talked about here with making dietary changes, if someone were to follow what you just said, how long would it be for the average person to see some positive results?
Oh, I mean, if you cut the sugar, put in the right proteins and fats, I've watched people lose 50 plus pounds in under 3 months. I've watched people lose 100 pounds in 6 months. Dave, the body innately knows how to heal. When you give it the right stuff, nothing's stopping it from moving. The only thing stopping it from moving is what we do to it. So, people are like, oh my gosh, this is going to take forever. No, if you get the diet, your lifestyle is 80% of your human health, right? The other 20%, we might have to put some nutrients in, might have to do some supplementation, might have to take some toxins out like metals or parasites, etc., molds, you name it, things like that. But if you do that, the body only knows how to heal, Dave.
Wow. Well, going back to how you introduced this topic with Bill Gates, can we land on that square for a minute and talk about,
Yeah.
and you talked about the oil product. Let's go back into that a little bit here. And where are we going to see it show up in the food supply so we can avoid it?
Well, so you're going to see the obviousness show up in your grocery store shelves. So that one company is called Savor. It's
Savor, right.
Savor, just like say like savoring food. You're going to see that show up in the store shelves itself, probably by, I would assume, next year based on what I was reading. You're already seeing some of it pop up, so be very careful when you're watching, looking at Beyond Meat, those companies like that. They're already using synthetic oils, fats to do that. But here's the kicker, and this is the real problem, Dave. I travel quite a bit. My wife travels quite a bit. So sometimes we have to go out to eat. Here's the real issue. You're gonna have to know where you're eating. You're gonna have to know if you go to a restaurant. And I'm not necessarily the person who's like, I'm gonna stay at home forever. That's really not my personality, because my wife and I, we're authorities in our field, so we have to travel, we have to educate, teach, et cetera. There's times where you're gonna have to eat out, right? You're gonna have to ask, like, what are you using? Are you using seed oils when you're cooking my food? I mean, you're gonna have to ask these questions. And don't be so rigid you never eat anywhere, but you're gonna find it in these restaurants are gonna have it. You're gonna have to ask, like, where are they getting their vegetables from? You're already seeing this now. Farm to table type restaurants are popping up where you have to go, okay, we know where this food is coming from. People are going to have to start looking for that stuff instead of, I mean, your chain restaurants are going to be terrible. Your chain restaurants already are terrible, but they're the ones that are going to be using this stuff first. It's going to be mass use of these things in these restaurants.
It's absolutely incredible what we're looking at here, and there's no watchdog. I mean, is it
No,
safe
this is
to
a
say?
wide open, this is an unregulated world so far.
It just reminds me of the complicity with the vaccine issue with the CDC, the FDA, and so forth. It seems like they're on board with everything that's harmful. Is that a fair statement, or is that an exaggeration?
They're on board with anything that changes the human and puts them more into lockstep under their guidance.
This is beyond. I'm flabbergasted. But there's people like Dr. Anna. Why aren't there more Dr. Annas? Why aren't there more Jason Deans?
Because you have to put your face on camera and people get panicked about that, Dave. I'll tell you, I've yelled before too. I yell at my own profession off and on. And they're like, well, it's scary. What if something happens to us? I'm like, wait a second. So it's okay if I put my face on camera, but it's not okay if you do. Honestly, it comes down to fear. Usually fear, Dave. Usually people are just they're afraid for themselves or family. That's the problem. We as a society have been living in fear for so long that when some of us do jump on camera like this, we are considered radical. I mean, truth is treason in the empire of lies, as they say.
Yeah, it's just my mind is exploding here because, I hate to say we're talking conspiracy. Is it a conspiracy or is it just now a way of science, a way of life?
Right. Hey, at the end of the day, I tell this to people. Anybody out there can question me as much as they possibly want on this topic, on the vaccine topic. And I'll tell you this, compare your life to mine. And this is not me being a jerk. If you want to compare what it's like eating animal fats and all the stuff they tell you not to versus what the doctors tell you to do and the television tells you to do or the vaccine world, why don't you come and compare your family and your life to mine? Because we eat animal fats, we eat animal proteins, we're carnivore keto people. We don't have vaccines in our family. We have kids never been vaccinated in the world. And guess what? None of us are on medications. None of us are on anything to kind of benefit our life from a pharmaceutical or synthetic standpoint. And yet we're thriving, Dave. And America's not. And I can say that across the board for pretty much any of my colleagues in this field. So it's about time for people to start waking up to the ones who are actually allies versus that mainstream propaganda is powerful, Dave, because at
It
the end of the
is. It
day,
is.
we're actually living out the proper lifestyle and showing people, and it's still hard to see our world because that propaganda is so strong.
So people say, okay, I got to get a hold of Jason because I think he can help me and I'm not sure how to navigate. What's the first steps they can take?
Yeah, I mean, you can go check the show out if you want to hear more what I talk about. Just go to bravetv.com 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, noon. If people are actually looking to work with me, you can either go to the store on the website, which is through bravetv.com, or some people work directly with me. They can go to my, like my practice is PalmerNaturalHealth.com, just how it sounds. Palmer, PALMER, naturalhealth.com. That's my wife's last name. She was a doctor before I met her. So that's where people can go. We help people literally all over the world. So, one is an education base, one is actually helping patients base. And that's how we fix people on a daily basis.
Well, Jason, I really appreciate your time and great debt of gratitude for what you're doing, because I know there's inherent risk involved. And keep up the good fight, my friend. Thank you for joining us here on the Common Sense Show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Take care.